The playoffs are near, and we have an army. Nation Gear is ready to gear you up for Vancouver's playoff run. Rep your favorite team as they battle for the cup. Shop the exclusive We Have an Army playoff tee and more at nationgear.ca.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Can you see it? Did you know this?
Check, but the puck comes right to Pettersson, who tries a bank pass for Besser. In with a shot, he scores!
Moment's notice. Adams leaves the puck.
To the line, Hughes scores!
Yes, existence.
You're listening to Canucks Conversation.
Quinn Hughes beat reporter here. Like, I won't cover the Canucks. Yeah. I cover Quinn Hughes and what he's doing to the Canucks.
A member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
Just wave the guy and get Demko involved. I wanted him in and down.
Wow. We should do a radio show together. Right on. I want to fist bump you right now.
What I'll have.
Pearl steals, cutting in, shoots, scores!
Don't waste all the good stuff on the off air. Let's go.
Hello, Canucks fans, and welcome back to another episode of the Canucks Conversation, brought to you by the great folks at Zephyr Epic. You can use promo code HOCKEYSEASON, capital H, capital S, all one word, hockey season. That will get you $5 off your order at ZephyrEpic.com, Z-E-P-H-Y-R, Epic. They have got you covered for all of your trading card needs. They've got a lot of giveaways and stuff if you go on their social media, so go follow them, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Zephyr Epic. However, our favorite part about Zephyr Epic is that they ship free anywhere in Canada, Canada-wide shipping on any order over $50 from...
A little dramatic pause there.
That's right. Pause for effect.
From Port Alberni to Pointe Claire, Quebec, or Pointe Claire, Quebec.
Wow. You even said Quebec.
Yeah, well, that's how you say it. Population of Pointe Claire, wow, 31,380. But here's the kicker. You know, I like my little tidbits about the cities. The mayor of Pointe Claire, Tim Thomas, is the mayor of Pointe Claire, Quebec.
Is he even Canadian?
It's not like the actual Tim Thomas. It's just the same. It's a pretty common name. Well, it might be. I didn't do my research.
No. I shouldn't have... fallen for that one.
It's not the goaltender 2011 Tim Thomas.
Well, the way you said it, this is a hockey podcast. I defended myself.
It's just an interesting mayor. It's not, it doesn't have a French name like a lot of Quebec mayors I expect do.
Yeah. You know what I'm going to be doing lately?
Tim Thomas.
Okay. You know what I'm going to be doing more of lately?
What's that?
Pausing for effect. I was listening to a podcast. No free ads, so I won't say who it was. But they were actors on the podcast, and they were saying they're acting coaches. And I know we're not acting, but you know I was a child actor. I like to remind everybody of that. You know, you pause for effect, you get in the part every time. If you're in an audition, and man, my acting career probably would have been a little more successful if I had that advice early on, because you just pause for effect, you say a big line, leave them hanging, and then you deliver it. That didn't make much sense.
Speaking of delivery.
Oh, good segue. We're also delivered to you by the great folks at DoorDash.
Ding dong.
Use promo code CONVODD, capital C, capital D's, all one word, CONVODD. That will get you 25% off and free delivery on your first order with the DoorDash app. Does not get much better than that, folks. My name is David Quadrelli.
This would be a full episode of pausing for effect. That wouldn't be a good thing to do the whole episode, probably.
Is there a metaphor in there that suggests the Canucks paused for effect? They paused their winning streak for effect? Because that's what we're going to talk about. My name is David Quadrelli. I'm joined, as always, by the man who built the place, wearing a shiny Xbox shirt.
Brand new shirt.
Never seen that one before.
Brand new shirt. Say.
Huh. It's a nice
one. I screwed up and I ordered a Dave Chappelle shirt right before all these things that he said came out. And then I ordered it from Old Navy.
You mean on his latest special?
Yeah, on his latest special. I didn't watch the special, pause for effect. And then it came, like, then the shirt showed up. This shirt randomly showed up. Same size.
Oh, you were telling me this. But
I guess they just took the Chappelle shirts off of the website, like, probably, like, the day of or within me ordering the shirt and them delivering it. So I got this Xbox shirt instead, and I still haven't worn it yet. So this is the first time wearing this shirt. Fits nice. Pretty cool. Little silver metallic Xbox. Girlfriend thinks it's stupid. She hates this shirt. She thinks it's dumb that I'm a grown-ass man wearing an Xbox shirt, but I like it, and I think it looks good.
You were in a Canucks Army hat, too, so that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I wore that to the Seas game last night.
Oh, yeah, okay. So, first of all, did I introduce you yet? Didn't say your name, but Chris Faber, Dave Quadrelli. Chris Faber, you went to the Canadiens game last night while I slaved away watching the Senators game. I'm sure you caught up, you know what's going on, so we'll have a good episode, but tell me about the Canadiens game.
Yeah, I had the Sportsnet Now going the whole game, so I was watching the game there. We need to get some better seats next time. Like, I had front row seats. The problem was, the front row seats were directly behind where all of Eugene's coaching staff was standing the whole time. So I didn't see a batter basically the whole game, like, until the coaches would, like, move. And then even when they, you know, moved around, they would sit right in front of us. So, like, little hot tip, do not get front row seats at a Seas game, especially in this little spot that we were right beside the dugout. But good atmosphere in there. It was a lot of fun to get to the home opener. I've never been to a Vancouver Canadiens game, but it was fun to watch that. I ended up watching the Canucks game most of the time anyways, because I couldn't see what was going on with the baseball game.
So. Was it near sold out?
There was a lot of people in there. It wasn't like sold out jam-packed. It was Tuesday night. It was cold. Everybody had their blankets and stuff like that. So I think it'll get better in the summer. But because it's a longer season this year with, I think, 66 home games, something like that. So a lot more home games out there at the Nat. But it was good to get out there and see some folks and enjoy a little bit of baseball, even though I was watching hockey most of the game.
I got to get out to a Canadiens game. I was supposed to go to that one with you, but then we realized there was a Canucks game and that we have duties that we have to take care of.
Those back-to-backs, they sneak up on you.
They do. They really do. Okay, let's talk about that game last night, because, Chris, this episode is going to be called Crunch Time, ... dramatic pause for effect. Maybe. Okay. Maybe it'll just be called Crunch Time. We're not exactly sure right now, but Tuesday night's game, Vancouver Canucks, Ottawa Senators. Canucks really looking like they were in the driver's seat the first two periods, especially that second period. I know they didn't score a goal. In fact, they gave up a goal. But it really looked like the Senators were just surviving that period, right? Like, they were hanging on by a thread. Yaroslav Halak was great in the first period. I thought he played fantastic. And then Thatcher Demko comes in cold and potentially dealing with some sort of illness. Obviously, Spencer Martin was recalled just a couple hours before the game, and then the recall was canceled because Demko decided he was good to go. And then Halak, obviously, everybody saw what happened with his hand. Upper body injury, it looks like, for Halak. leaves after the first period. That's a tough blow for Halak.
Yeah, and Halak looked like he was playing pretty well. I know he got his season save percentage up to .903. So unfortunately, if he would have kept playing well throughout that game, would have earned himself that $250K bonus. But it looks like he'll sit at .903 and potentially won't play another game this year. We'll have to see what happens. But with Spencer Martin now up with the squad, he might even get a game depending on what happens with the Canucks playoff chances here late into the season. But yeah, Demko, and you could hear it, obviously there's some frustration from Bruce Boudreau, as I'm sure you heard him drop an F-bomb, and during the media availability wasn't too happy about the questions so much about Demko. But like you said, he was well enough to play. He was well enough to be on the bench. I'm curious to think, like, do you think it was just, hey, are you good enough to just sit on the bench for the game? Was that something that they asked? Because I don't think you would ask your goaltender to do that with Spencer Martin there, who was at the game in the arena. Spencer Martin was there, could have been the backup for that game. So I have to believe that Demko was asked at least, you know, hey, if something happens, we are going to need to go to you. Something did happen and Demko went in. And yeah, I mean, it is what it is, right? Like, we all saw what happened last night, and the three goals against Demko aren't great. He loses in the shootout to Adam Gaudette. Unfortunately, Gaudette knows his number and talked to, you know, Ian Clark about how to beat Thatcher Demko in the past, is something that Adam Gaudette mentioned. So it is what it is, man. Like, I think a lot of people saw the video of Thatcher Demko, like, sort of heaving at the bench that was going around Reddit the other day.
And yeah,
I don't think he's 100%, but he obviously was good enough to be able to play, and I don't think that's too much of a problem to ask him to step in. Obviously, he didn't have a tremendous performance in his relief appearance with the Vancouver Canucks, but I don't think it's too much to worry about with Demko.
Yeah, and I just want to add, Bruce Boudreau did say post-game that there's no illness to Demko, that he's not sick, so do with that what you will. As you pointed out, there was the video of him puking at the bench on that Monday night game. So something to keep in mind going forward is that, yes, Jaroslav Halak is not going to get that bonus, as far as we know, sitting in the .903, as you said, now out with an injury, hand injury, is what the team is saying. One thing I wanted to point out about that game, Chris, before we move on, is just almost a bit of a broader picture thing, and this was also pointed out by Thomas Drance on Twitter, but the Myers-OEL pairing was the only pairing that outshot and outscored the opposition. Or no, excuse me. They outshot and outscored the opposition, and when every other pairing was on the ice, it was bad. Like, they got outshot like 20-15. They gave up two goals, and obviously the Myers-OEL pairing scored a goal and had one scored against them. But it really just shows you, like, look, I love Luke Shen, right? But you really need to go get a right-handed defense partner for Quinn Hughes. Like, you can't come into next year saying, oh, well, Shen can play top 4 minutes again. Like, no, that's a huge ask that Shen, for the most part, has been up to the task for. But you can't come into next year with that mentality. You come into next year with the mentality of, okay, we have Travis Dermott, we have Jack Rathbone battling for that third pair spot. Dermott might move to the right side and make Shen more of a 6-7, which is what he's kind of supposed to be on this team, right? But you have to view Shen as, okay, here's this really solid third pairing guy who can step up to the top four in a pinch. You cannot pencil him in to the side with Quinn Hughes. Like, you cannot do that when you're planning this roster for next year. This blue line needs work.
Oh, absolutely. I think Shen going in to be a third pairing guy is a good upgrade to the team, because that means that you have a better option for Quinn Hughes. Right now, he's the best option. Like, he's been the best option all season long. You know, he's been better than Hamonic, better than Pullman. He's the guy who deserves to be in the lineup on a nightly basis. It will be interesting to see what happens down the road, because I think Shen would work with both Dermott or Rathbone. Whichever of those two wins the job, you know, Dermott could end up being the 7 guy. Shen can end up being the 7 guy. Then you're looking pretty good at the bottom end of your defense core. But to make that possible, it's the toughest part is finding that guy for Quinn Hughes. And that's going to be very difficult to find a player who can step right in next season. Like, I can see a world where Luke Shen is his partner next year to start the season. Like, I think Shen and Hughes will be playing together to start next year, because I don't think they're going to be able to find the guy who steps right in game one and is Hughes' partner. I think they can find a prospect or a guy, you know, in the realm of 20-23 who can maybe do it a year or two down the road. But it wouldn't shock me to see another year of Shen and Hughes as partners and being the top four. And I know that's not ideal. I just don't know if they're going to be able to find the perfect guy for Quinn Hughes. And maybe they're able to get a right D who is like a for sure top four guy. Like Jan Ruda is the guy that I think of, like, not to trade for, because, but that's the type of player you need. A guy who's sufficient enough to play with your number one left shot defenseman, like it is with Victor Hedman down there in Tampa. And a guy that can just do that for Quinn Hughes, because you're right. Like, you need a little bit better of a puck mover. You need someone who can capitalize on having so much extra ice when you play with Quinn Hughes. It's a simple right shot guy, right? Like, it's someone who's going to calm the waters, but also be able to move the puck quite well. I think you need to find a prospect or two, like I said on the last episode. I think you need two. I think you need two right D prospects to build to down the road. And I would look towards that more than I would about a guy who can step right in next year, who's 24 to 26 right now and is, you know, going to be that guy for Quinn Hughes right now, next season, game one. Like, I don't think that should be the main goal for this team to build for and use their draft capital to trade for. They need to get the prospects. So it wouldn't shock me to see Luke Shen be his partner to start in game one next year again. I know it's not ideal, but yeah. I'd rather trade for the prospect than the guy who's doing it right now. Because if you're trading for a right D who's going to come play with Quinn Hughes, you're giving up a ton. That might be what you do in the Miller trade. Like, you're getting that plus a couple
picks and prospects. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It depends what you give up, right? Because... But the thing is, right, like, let's just say you're trading Miller, right? And let's say it's New York and Braden Schneider, who's been very firmly off the table in New York. Let's say New York is like, okay, we'll give you Braden Schneider, but obviously you're not also going to get a good right defense partner to play with Hughes right now.
Yeah.
Can Braden Schneider play with Hughes right now? Like, my question to you, Chris, is if they get this prospect, can they afford to do the reverse Jack Rathbone and just kind of rush him a little bit? Because he's going to be playing with Hughes.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I think... That's the thing. I think some people believe that, like, it's a difficult role to go into to be a top, you know, the top of your team's right defense depth chart. It's a tough spot to find that player, but I don't think it's a tough role to play with Quinn Hughes. Like, to excel with Quinn Hughes, that's tough, right? But to play with him, like, Luke Shen can do it. We've seen Travis Hamonic do an okay job, I guess, of doing it in the past. We've seen Chris Tanev be able to do it in the past. Like, it's not like it's super difficult to play with a guy that good, but it's difficult to excel with a player like that who's that good. And I think that's the problem that you're looking for. That's why, to me, you want to get two prospects that you can hope and build towards kind of down the road to be the partner. And you said maybe you can rush one of them a little bit to play with Quinn Hughes, because it's not like... Well, I don't know, actually, because it is a tough thing to ask, you know, a 22-year-old guy to go out and play that many minutes at 5-on-5. But when you have Quinn Hughes, who's developed defensively, is already so good at moving the puck, it's not like you're asking them to do a ton on that pairing. Even though they're playing a lot of minutes, you're not asking them to be the primary puck mover. You're just asking them to keep things simple and let Quinn Hughes work. And yeah, like, you could probably rush a guy into that spot a little bit if you have to, but that's what I would look... I'm still looking towards prospects more than a 24-year-old guy right now for that role.
Very fair. Okay, let's move on to the standings, because, Chris, as you and I talked about, it is crunch time right now. There is a race going on for that third spot in the Pacific Division. Now, with the Canucks, that win, if they had had a win last night against Ottawa, that was a valuable win. Like, that was something you didn't want to lose. If only because it was the Ottawa Senators that you were playing, right? Like, I saw people on Twitter making pretty good points and saying, like, you know, it's fun to believe, but good teams don't lose to the Ottawa Senators, right? And,
right,
you know, I'm, you know, obviously there's no easy game in the NHL. Like, we see Tampa get wiped by the Ottawa Senators, Florida. There was that time in December that happened. But with the Vancouver Canucks right now, currently sitting 5 points back, 5 points back of the LA Kings with a game in hand. LA has a really soft schedule from here on out, Chris. They only have 4 games left, but it's against the Chicago Blackhawks, the Anaheim Ducks, Seattle Kraken, and their last game of the season is on Thursday, the 28th, against the Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah, it's like, I know we were kind of talking about before we started recording here, it could set up a really, really fun back-to-back with the Kings and the Oilers to kind of,
yeah, because like you just alluded to, the Canucks play their last game of the season on the 29th against Edmonton.
It is basically, like, you could almost call it like a 6-point swing, right? with that back-to-back, because the Canucks, if they beat the Kings outright, no overtime, that's a four-point game right there to kind of gain. And then you kind of set yourself up, and we were mentioning it, like, there's a way that the Kings can still win a couple games, but the Canucks can win that game against the Kings to be like, to put them in a spot where they just need to win against that Edmonton game. First things first, they need to take care of business. The Canucks need to take care of business here on this road trip. And listen, not an easy road trip either. You're going to Minnesota, you're going to Calgary. These are two teams that are strong teams, and I don't like the way the Canucks match up against the Wild, especially with what the Wild are going to be able to do with their depth versus the Canucks' depth right now, which is obviously being tested quite a bit. You know, Sheldon Dry's getting time in overtime, and just kind of everything that's going on in the Canucks' bottom six. Like, I never thought I'd say it's going to be really nice to have Chiasson back here, you know, like to boost what they have in their top six to help the depth through the additions to their top of the lineup and move players down again. They're going to be massively tested on these next two games, and they're going to need to be strong. And not only that, but the goaltending, like they've played well enough, this Canucks team, over the last few games, last basically 2 weeks, where they've been like the better team throughout, not just like JT Miller stealing a whole game, or, you know, Quinn Hughes being excellent on the power play, getting things going, or Thatcher Demko stealing some games. You're going to almost need that over these next two games. Like, you are going to need one of these. Thatcher Demko wins you the game, he's 100% your MVP. You're going to probably need that in at least one of these two against the Flames and Wild, maybe even both. Like, you're going to need Thatcher Demko to be at his best in these two games that are going to lead you into the massive finish to the end of the season. But that's a lot to ask, but it's almost like, you know, if Demko's your MVP, you kind of almost have the expectation of him to be your MVP in these most important games of the season. Though it's a lot to ask for him to steal two games, you almost need it. Like, you need Demko to be on his game here over these next two games on this road trip, because it's massive. It's massive games if you think this team gets to the playoffs, and there is a way for them to get to the playoffs. It's going to be on the backs of their best players. So you need big games from JT Miller. You need big games from Elias Pettersson. You need big games from, I think, most importantly, Thatcher Demko here, who should be the team MVP. I know I've said that I think Quinn Hughes is in the conversation for MVP, and I think that's from his steady play. Like, he steadily, to me, is the most important player on this Canucks team for, you know, moving possessions the right way, playing good defense, being able to move the puck in the offensive zone, extend possessions, all that stuff. But he doesn't single-handedly win you games like Thatcher Demko does. Thatcher Demko needs to single-handedly win you at least one of these two games against the Wild and the Flames.
So there's a little bit of news here about the draft lottery that I want to get to. But we'll get to it on the other side. On the other side, we'll have our poll question. We will get to this draft lottery info. And I know it's funny, we just talk about playoffs and we're just quickly switching to draft lottery. But we'll get to the poll question, then we'll talk about the draft lottery, and then we'll quickly finish up with more talk and more breaking down of what this playoff push actually means for the Canucks. So keep it locked, keep it loaded on Canucks Conversation.
And before we go any further into the episode, want to give a shout out to Parallel 49 Brewing. You guys can find Parallel 49 beer all across BC and Alberta. And right now we want to give a quick shout out to the Unparalleled Pack, featuring four of the P49 favorites: the Trash Panda, the Filthy Dirty, the Jerkface 9000, and the Hillbilly Ninja. My favorite of the four there, the Jerkface 9000, the pink can. Something good about those cans there at Parallel 49. So go out and try them. You can find them in most liquor stores across BC and Alberta.
And a massive thank you to Parallel 49 Brewing Company for sponsoring the podcast. Chris, it is time for our poll question. Our episode 255 poll question, brought to you by Atlas Goods. Go to atlasgds.com and use promo code CC15 to get 15% off your first order of the best fresh pork rinds that come straight out of your microwave or air fryer. Locally owned, female-owned company located in Surrey.
A little salt and vinegar you put on there.
Yep.
Salt and vinegar. What else? What else is? What's another?
Any popcorn seasoning, we were told. And you know what? I'll tell you what. I have dill pickle seasoning at home, and I really like it on popcorn, obviously, but I'm going to have to try it on the pop rinds.
You got to get them when they're fresh out of the air fryer, too.
I haven't
had... Well, they still got a little still hot oil on it, you know, because you spray him with a little bit of that oil spray.
Yeah.
And then that's what you do. You hit him with that right after.
I haven't had the original flavor yet. I've only had bacon.
See, I haven't had the bacon one.
Bacon's really good.
I have it. I haven't tried it yet. I've just been going through the
bacon. Bacon is really good. I'm trying to go through one bag at a time.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing too, but we did opposite. So that's good that we've tried both.
Yeah, you get a pretty good size too. Like the bag looks small and someone like messaged me. They're like, oh, it's only 355 milligrams or whatever it is. Like, am I going to finish this in one sitting? I'm like, no, not even close. Like you feel
You got to be careful when you put them in the air fryer too. Yeah. They blow up a lot.
Yeah, you need to put like 1/8 of a cup and you've got them like a whole serving. It's crazy.
But check them out. We got, I think I tagged them in the tweet today too. So you can check out all their information there on the Twitter account and check out their social media. A bunch of, how-to videos as well on their Instagram, so you can find all that there.
Pork rind nachos. Tell you what.
Yeah, I don't know, but I still don't know.
Step too far for me.
Yeah.
Step too far for me. But go check out atlasgds.com, promo code CC15. Chris, our poll question today, has Tanner Pearson won you over this season? Right now, he's worth his $3.25 million, leading the vote with 43%. Wow. Our other options are, yes, he's underrated, no, he's overpaid, and I'm angry. In second is no, he's overpaid. I must say, Chris, I'm surprised to see people voting this and saying that Tanner Pearson is overpaid. I don't think he's overpaid, but I think it is okay to look at the type of player Tanner Pearson is, not an exceptionally fast skater, right? And say that the Canucks shouldn't have dished out that contract. I think you can still say that while still recognizing that he's played well. I'm not sure if that's the thought process of the people saying no, he's overpaid is. Personally, I say he's worth his 3.25.
Yeah, I mean, second lowest shooting percentage of his career this season, and he's still got 31 even strength points, right? Like, this isn't a guy who's getting points off of the power play. He's got 3 points all season on the power play, 31 at 5-on-5. You need 5-on-5 scoring, and at 3.25, like, to see that he's got 34 points in 68 games. I mean, if you're paying someone 3.25, probably just a little bit steep. Like, if Tanner Pearson's making 2.5, you're happy. You're super happy. And maybe that's what he should be making if it wasn't that contract that Jim Benning gave out to him at the trade deadline, which didn't make a lot of sense because I don't think anyone was going to pay Tanner Pearson that type of money on that type of term, even in free agency, once he became a free agent. So that contract might be a little bit steep, but like, he has won me over quite a bit about always being a player who does things the right way at 5-on-5, moving the puck in the right direction, being strong on boards, being able to play with different players. We obviously have seen a lot of success in the past with Bo Horvat and most recently with JT Miller as well. So he's versatile. He's a guy who's won a veteran presence, gets along with everyone in the room. At 3.25, I don't know if it's an overpayment. I think it still is. Like, I do think it's a little bit of an overpayment, but it's not as much as I thought it was before. Like, he has won me over in his time in Vancouver now. And to think about it, next year will be the fifth season where he's been around Vancouver. Like, he's been a guy who's been here for a while. It doesn't feel like it because he's not a loud name in the market, but to quietly be putting up on pace for nearly 20 goals at making 3.25, like, it's not the worst. It definitely isn't the worst. I think I'm in the camp of answering with the majority on this one, where it's like, yeah, he's a little overpaid, but he's almost worth that $3.25 million. Like, he plays top 6 minutes, and he's been a positive player at 5-on-5 this year. Doesn't take a lot of penalties. Like, I don't know. I think that Tanner Pearson's kind of won me over the last little bit here about how consistent he's always been with the Canucks.
Absolutely. I think it really comes down to how you evaluate the team, right? And I think it's a similar thought process to, you know, when people were criticizing the JT Miller trade, saying the Canucks aren't in a position to be going all in here. You know, the OEL Garland trade. Again, like, I don't think there's many people who would say that Garland is overpaid, except for Eastern executives trying to get Connor Garland on their team. But you can still look at that player, Connor Garland, and say, the Canucks really shouldn't have traded for this guy. And not only just because it came with OEL, but because the Canucks should be kind of looking toward the future a little more, I think is what a lot of people think of. And again, that's what I mean when I say you don't have to think he's overpaid, but it does depend on how you evaluate the team, right? Like, if you're one of those people that thinks the Canucks shouldn't be going out and getting stuff for the here and now, they should be getting futures, And I'm definitely not necessarily one of those people, although I think it's safe to say you would undo the OEL Garland trade if you had a chance. I think it just depends how you evaluate the team. And right now, I evaluate them and say Tanner Pearson is good. Like, Tanner Pearson's a good player and doesn't hurt this team at that number.
Got some good replies to the poll question as well. Andy's got one here. Complicated question. This year, he's earned his contract. Problem is, and this is a really good point, that he has two more years left on the contract, right? Like, he's 29. Is he going to be the same player at 31? Maybe. You know, like, maybe he's a guy who's around for this, but I'm curious with Tanner Pearson now, if there's any sort of return for him this offseason that's of relevance, like, you know, if a second comes on the table for Tanner Pearson, you probably take that, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, in a heartbeat. And you know what? It's interesting that you say a second in particular, because there were a lot of reports that that was exactly what teams were going to trade for him before they signed him to that contract. We got another reply here. This from Garland's Mustache. Said, I'll go on because I love to. You know, he was pointing out a few different things. This is the third tweet he made. First, he said he's got more points than Pacioretty. He brought up Connor McDavid's points per game and then the value. And then finally, he said, guys, he's tied or above in points per game with William Karlsson, J.G. Peugeot, Natchez, Jonathan Toews, Palmieri, Hoffman, Dustin Brown. A lot of guys having down years, but a lot of big names that you know.
My favorite reply from Garland's Mustache is, McDavid has 1.47 points per games played. Pearson has 0.5. 3.2 versus 12.5 million. Conclusion, Pearson provides more value than McDavid, and he smiles more. So obviously a huge Tanner Pearson fan here. I'm surprised that's not Pearson's mustache. Yeah, this mustache. Is Tanner
Pearson's dad on, replying to us.
Yeah, but no, I mean, like, at 3.25, you don't hate it. It's not the worst thing in the world. But as Andy mentioned in his reply, there are two more years left. Like, this contract just started this year. And to still be able to have the discussion on if it's worth it or not, and knowing that there's more years down the road, there should be a little bit of a worry there. But so far, he's been able to be a guy who's fit into your top six when you need it. If you can push him into your third line, then it's like, I'm going to be paying him too much. But if he brings enough offense at 5-on-5, there's some worth there for sure.
Absolutely. And since we're reading replies, I'll read the last one. This is from MattNew15. I've always thought that Tanner Pearson was a great fit for the Canucks. While he may not be the highest point producer or the best puck handler, he brings a healthy balance of offense and defense to every line he's on. Last season, he led the Canucks in third period scoring and only seems to improve as the years go on. He's the Canucks Swiss Army knife, a jack of all trades, and I hope the new management group doesn't make the mistake of trading him. Now, Chris, on the topic of replies and stuff, I think we're going to get a text line or a phone line, because we've got some exciting stuff for the show next year. I think we should get one of those voicemails, you know, where you get voicemails and you hear them on the show.
Well, yeah, I mean, we'll work on some things. Obviously, some exciting stuff.
A lot of stuff next, in the background.
Next year, new studio in the next couple months here or so. We'll figure that out in the summertime here. But yeah, we'll have a text line, I think, for sure, because I'm hoping somehow maybe do some live stuff. I don't know if we'll do it every day, but we'll have some live stuff. We'll have some text lines. We'll get all that going. That'll be fun.
Yeah. And Tanner Pearson, obviously, should article out right now. This is coming out on Wednesday morning, afternoon, probably, that we'll be releasing this. There's an article right now at CanucksArmy.com by Noah Strang, who's been an absolute rock for us at Canucks Army lately. Have you read some of Noah's stuff?
That's your new favorite there, eh, Noah?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Stefan's getting, getting uprooted. Now you're third on the list.
Yeah, right. No, I've seen what the Reader's Choice people said about Stefan and his whatever happens on Wednesday or whatever it's called. They gave Scouting with Faber over that. So take that, Stefan. You might be Dave's favorite, but I know the Reader's where their loyalty lays. Scouting with Faber, number one, ran
people
away.
People do like Scouting with Faber, and so do I. Like, it's hard to.
We'll get back to it.
We'll get back to one soon. I'm excited for your much anticipated return to Canucks Army. That'll be good.
Yeah, soon. I wrote an article for the Vancouver Canucks. Probably out by the time this episode gets posted, actually. So that'll be out. Check that out on Canucks.com.
What's it about?
About the Abbotsford Canucks.
Oh, good.
Which is funny because, so the Vancouver Canucks asked me to write an article about the Abbotsford Canucks for the Vancouver Canucks website, and then the Abbotsford Canucks asked me to write an article for the AHL.com about the Abbotsford Canucks. So I'm basically writing the exact same article for Canucks.com and then AHL.com, because both are about getting into the playoffs in their inaugural season. So very easy work for me getting two of almost the exact same article done. A couple tweaks here and there. But I did talk to Patrick Alvin, which was a good little sit down with him. We chatted a little bit about Abbotsford. Didn't get to do it in person, sent him the questions, got him to answer that way. So I guess I didn't technically talk to him, but he talked to me through the Canucks PR and gave some answers about the outs for Canucks. You see that in the article that'll be on Canucks.com today on, what is it, Wednesday? Wednesday today.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff. We're only at 34 minutes. Do we have much more to talk about? Like, I mean, it's almost like a hurry up and wait. Right? Like that's, right. You know, and we always joke that that's half of our jobs is just waiting for stuff and waiting for players to come to the podium and stuff. But like, can the Canucks actually do this, Chris? Like Thursday against the Wild.
Right.
Saturday against the Flames. Those are the two games. Like if they lose one of those games, it's over. They have to run the table. And even if they do, we've already broken it down. They need the LA Kings to lose some games too.
It is. It's pretty wild to watch the Vancouver Canucks be able to play this well. Like, listen, I know they played Ottawa last night, but now that they're going up against these actual strong teams in the NHL without Bo Horvat, without Nils Höglander, without Tanner Pearson, you know, without Halak potentially for the last little bit, the Canucks are a team that should not be winning these type of games unless there's something special about the group. And it feels like there's something special with this team. Like, they're missing their captain. They're missing Nils Höglander, who brings a lot of offense at 5-on-5. They're getting players back now. Like, you're excited to see Chiasson come back in the lineup. Brock Besser has scored a couple times since he's come back. Like, it's crazy that they're going in with this without, you know, while missing their most important players. Isn't that such, like, Canucks way of happening? It's like, just when they get themselves into a legitimate chance of potentially actually being in a race, that's when these injuries come back up. And it's tough. Like, they need to win their last little bit here. And actually, we got JT Miller from the podium last night that I wouldn't mind playing, just because, like, he brings it up. Like, he's very aware that no matter what really happened in that game, the fact that he's already, like, turning the page and looking forward to just, it doesn't really, like, ruin their mentality or what they've been able to do lately. They know that they just need to run the table. So I'll play the JT Miller clip real quick here, and then we'll just react to it on the other side.
I need every point. There's not much changes for us. It's pretty unrealistic to think you're going to win 13 games in a row to get in the playoffs. So, got a point, came from behind there. Everybody's, we played a lot of hockey. So, I mean, it's, you know, that team plays really hard. They pushed us all the way to the end. We got a lot of chances there at the end that easily could have went, but a lot of chances in the second where we could have kind of broke the game open. Our goalie played really well tonight. But nothing really changes for us. We got to run the tables no matter what.
So that was JT Miller talking, and you know, you assume those duties would have fallen on Bo Horvat if he was back. So JT Miller, obviously the one that spoke last night after that game, and he's right, Chris. Like, he's absolutely right. You have to run the table, and you have to, you know, just turn the page and control what you can control. And for the Canucks, that's winning every game. They've got one game against the LA Kings, as we pointed out, and Chris, that game could have massive implications on the Canucks, you know, playoff hopes, because that's the Kings' last game of the season. Canucks have won the day after as well.
It sets it up like to make the Edmonton game be huge. And you mentioned it before we started recording here, because I was like, oh, maybe Edmonton, you know, if the situation presents itself where the Canucks do run the table in these three games and set up that back-to-back to be like so much fun for Canucks fans, for Canucks media, for the players, obviously, that could be so much fun. If they win these three games, we are cooking, baby. Like, that back-to-back is going to be so wild to watch. Should just be electric in the Rogers Arena against the Kings, which I'll be in the stands for. I'm going to that one as a fan, will be my first game in the new apartment. So a quick little commute down to the arena. That's going to be nice. So to go set yourself up for that position, to make that back-to-back that much fun, it's like, man, we can't like look forward to it just yet, because they need these three wins.
Yeah.
They need to win their next three games, which is a lot to ask already. But if they can do it, man, it can be a lot of fun here to see what this team can able to do to make fun hockey, important games in April, and set you up to even have games in May. Like, it's wild to think that the Canucks have been able to get to this point. And do you think that, like, I know it's going to take them to get into the playoffs to even get votes, But does Bruce Boudreaux get Jack Adams votes if he gets in? Like, does he get legitimate votes as like a, does he fit into the top five of the league for coaching if the Canucks get in? Even if they just get in and get swept anything, like get swept by Colorado, whatever it is. Like, or I guess they'd be in Pacific. Anyways, if they get swept in the first round by whoever.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't really matter. Playoffs. He probably gets votes.
Yep.
But what you mentioned, I didn't get to it there. Edmonton in that final game, I was thinking they're probably going to rest, you know, McDavid and Draisaitl. But if the Canucks win those four games going into it, is that the team that Edmonton wants to play? Or does Edmonton give their best effort in game 82 of the year, even though they have a playoff spot locked up, because they don't want to face the Vancouver Canucks? If they can beat the Canucks in that final game and play the Kings instead, you brought it up. Like, I think that you're right. I think they might, like, game 82 might be important to the Oilers too, because they might not want to play the Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to face Thatcher Demko in the playoffs if I'm the Oilers. You're losing the goaltending matchup.
And what's the deal here if they start playing Edmonton? We're traveling, right?
I'm going to be in Edmonton for that last game.
That's right.
I'll be at Morning Skate, but I think I'm going to be going to that game as a fan, so you're going to have to cover it.
That's true.
We'll see, though.
But either way, we got our Oilers. What are the frickin', I forget what they're called. The Oily Boys.
You forgot about the Oily Boys for a sec?
Yeah, wow. Thank God. It's nice to forget about those that, and that stupid name of theirs. The Oily Boys are going to set us up then if they play Edmonton in the first
round. Yeah, we're going to go up to Edmonton and be covering that series.
That'd be sweet.
That would be sweet.
Well, like I said, it's funny to like think, but it's easy to just like, for us and to think about it, like to get so excited for that back-to-back to finish the season. Still, like, you need the three wins, unfortunately. Like, you need these three wins just from how you played throughout the year. Like, I think back of that three-game losing streak under Boudreaux even, and obviously the first 25 games have gotten you into this position, but little bits throughout the season where they lost points and everything, it really does add up. And that's why I think we talked about it so much. It's like losing points to Buffalo, losing points to Arizona, losing points to these bad teams in the NHL. They catch you at the end of the year, and the Canucks now are just back against the wall, need to fight off everything like to get to this point. But it starts with these three wins, and it's possible, like it really is. And I think even losing to Ottawa might help. Like, it might help you kind of get that loss off your sheet now to just go out there and play your best hockey. But the bodies that you're missing, like, there is so much stacked against them. It's going to be interesting to see, but it's got to start with the three wins here. And tough three wins. Like I said, I think you got to lean on Thatcher Demko to be the MVP right now in these next three games.
Yeah, I think you're right. Okay, we're only at 40 minutes. Do you have anything to add?
I'll go quickly to Abbotsford here, who are 2 points up now, holding on to that fourth spot in the Pacific Division of the AHL. Looks like it's going to be Mikey DiPietro riding out potentially the rest of the season here. Arthur Seelov should get the call back up to the AHL. I haven't had that confirmed yet. I'm going to try and work on that today, that Seelovs will be back up with the AHL Canucks. But a lot of pressure on Mikey DiPietro, and that's going to be interesting because this, I guess we can sort of, what do you call it, dovetail or ducktail? Ducktail is the show. Dovetail it into prospects report. Is that what they say? Have you heard that before?
For some reason, I have.
DuckTales is the show. I know that. It's not DuckTale. It's Dovetail into somewhat of a prospects report, because Mikey DiPietro is going to be like relied upon to be the starter now with Spencer Martin getting the call up. Obviously, before the AHL playoffs, then you'll have Martin back there. But DiPietro's last three starts, you seen this? My tweet, 958 save percentage over his last three starts.
I don't think you got the dovetail thing right.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm Googling it, and it's a thing in woodworking. A dovetail is a joint in woodworking where two sides are fitted together with interlocking pieces.
That's what it means. It's to dovetail into something.
Okay. Oh, so you're... Oh, you're okay.
Attaching two things together to fit together as a whole, it
okay.
says.
Maybe you used it to... Yeah, okay. Good job.
I Googled it. It says an intransitive verb. Dovetail into. Yeah, that's a thing.
I think so.
Anyway,
sorry. Carry
it's
on.
Not DuckTales.
Mikey DiPietro playing his best hockey. Is it time to hit the button? Is it time to hit the button, or how long are you going to go on about Mikey?
Not very much here. Okay. I don't want to do too much.
Go ahead.
Here. But I'll talk about what Alvin said about the prospects a little bit too, which you'll see in the article for Canucks.com. But it's going to be Mikey time for the last five games here, which are really important games for Abbotsford because they want to host, right? It's not like they're just playing out the rest of the season and you know, cruising into the playoffs. They need to host those games. They want to have that three-game series be out in Abbotsford, and now it's all on Mikey DiPietro's shoulders. And this is what Patrick Alvin basically told me, which you'll see in the article. He was excited for the pressure and forcing young guys into leadership, whether it be the players that he mentioned, like Jack Rathbone, Will Lockwood, he even brought up Vasily Podkolzin. Those players are obviously going to be ones who have to lead, but even to finish off this season, now you're asking Mikey DiPietro to basically be the guy that you were hoping he was going to be at the start of the year, to be the number one guy. Like, you would have wanted Mikey to play these final five games of the season. You're going to get that now in the AHL, and it's important games. They're only 2 points up with five games remaining. Both them and Bakersfield have five games remaining. They have one more against Bakersfield. So these five games are huge, and Abbotsford's been playing ridiculously good hockey. It's like 29-9-2 is their record since middle of January. They've been the hottest team in the AHL. Now you're going to throw it back on Mikey DiPietro, who's been excellent throughout that stretch as well. I mentioned almost a 960 save percentage his last three starts. So watch him ride. Like, he might be the guy who you ride through the playoffs if he has a really good stretch of games here to finish out the season. And then you want to see the young players continue to work. Like, I think everyone has kind of realized this at this point, but Jack Rathbone's not coming up to the NHL this year. He's going to finish out the rest of the year in the AHL, unless there's like an injury to somebody, right? Like, Rathbone is going to finish in the AHL, and he's been playing consistent, really good hockey. So, like, let him go down there and let him continue to play. Podkolzin's going to be so fun when he gets down there, but I want to see what happens in, you know, when Podkolzin joins that team. What happens to Danila Klimovich when playoffs happen? Like, what is the type of playoff performer that we see from Danila Klimovich? What type of playoff performer is Vasily Podkolzin in the AHL? Like, I think Podkolzin, in all likelihood that the Vancouver Canucks don't make the playoffs and Podkolzin goes down, Podkolzin's going to be ridiculous to watch. Like, it is going to be so fun to watch him just physically dominate, have his skill be something that shines. Like, I can't wait to see what Podkolzin play in the AHL here soon. But the other names that'll be interesting, like, the defense corps is going to be strong, but the forward group coming back, whether it be Sheldon Dries or Will Lockwood, watch those guys come back to the AHL and be even better players after this little stint in the NHL, because I think they've shown pretty well. Like, Sheldon Dries setting up Elias Pettersson the other night, really good play there, obviously, by Sheldon Dries. I was a little surprised to see him in overtime last night against Ottawa, especially as we're kind of on the topic of Podkolzin. Why does Podkolzin not get
Nick
a little
Patan
bit of run
in the
there?
Shootout over Podkolzin? That was surprising.
Yeah, that one didn't surprise me as much, to be honest. Just like a skilled guy. Like, that's sort of Patan's book there.
Okay.
I guess, like, that one didn't surprise me. But I thought with some open ice, it's something that Travis Green never did, was like play a Höglander in open ice or Podkolzin in open ice on 3-on-3 or 4-on-4. But the way Podkolzin's been playing lately, I thought it was a little surprising to see the AHL call-up guy in Sheldon Dries get a chance, who I love. I think he's a great scorer in the AHL. Just a little surprising to see that one for sure.
All right, I guess I'll add to the prospect report.
Well, okay, you add, then I'll say I talked to Adam Gaudette yesterday too.
Okay, I know it's out there already, but the Canucks don't really think Aiden McDonough is going to get better at Northeastern this year. I know the report's already out there that they don't agree with the decision, but now I can confirm it with my own two ears that the Canucks are really, they do not think that McDonough's going to get better.
Yeah, the rumors that I heard was like, what is there more for him to prove?
Exactly.
Right? So that's what I've heard on the situation. I don't know what's...
And improve on. What are you going to improve on at 23?
Right? No, I mean, like, he... Now, the only way that you can, like, really be... Honestly, like, and it's his choice. He wants to go back, whether it be to contribute to Northeastern or if he has something to prove to himself. But the only thing he can, like, prove right now, and to look at his season as like a real success, is two things. Like, he's got to win the national championship with Devin Levi backstopping him, who obviously is going to be huge for that team, or be the best scorer in the nation. Cause that should be the expectation for Aiden McDonough next year, is that he should be number one in NCAA goals. Like, he should be that. He's proven at that point that if he is going to make improvements and come back for his senior year, that's the expectation now. Like, we talked to him last year before the season started, and we were like, hey, do you have like a goal for, or like a goal for how many goals you're going to score? And he wouldn't tell us, but I think he hit it this year. His goal for next year has to be, and he might not say it. He might. We'll talk to him in the offseason about it, but he might say it. he should be the NCAA leading goal scorer. And then he should come out and he should hopefully jump right into the NHL. Because I think the expectation was if he signs this year, he probably starts in the A next year and potentially works his way into some NHL games. Now the expectation is different as a senior, where he should sign, he should be right into the NHL if he's that player. Because you mentioned it, 23 years old. He's not 20. He's not one of these 19-year-olds who goes to Michigan for a season and then comes out, starts scoring in the NHL like Matty Beniers is doing right now or something like that. Like, higher, there should be higher expectations because of his decision to not come out this year.
Final thing for me on the prospect report, Arshdeep Bains finishes top of the WHL scoring race, Chris. Connor Bedard really likes him. Connor Bedard's still a very open Canucks fan, which is very funny because I wonder at what age Connor Bedard's going to stop talking so publicly about how much he loves the Canucks. Arshdeep Bains finishes atop the WHL scoring race as soon as the Red Deer Rebels are eliminated from the playoffs. Canucks can obviously sign him to an AHL tryout, I believe.
Yes, but don't expect to see that. I don't expect to see Bains in the AHL playoffs this year. I expect him to be at camp next year, continue to work with a lot of the Canucks offseason staff that he's already pretty familiar with. I know that I can't pronounce the guy's last name, but their skills coach, Yogi, it's a tough one to pronounce, and I can't remember it exactly at this point, but he has worked with him. Let's call him Coach Yogi since he was, I think, like 10 years old. And he remembers like going to Canucks games with him and a lot of things like that. He's a coach that obviously Bains is going to continue to work with in the offseason here. So he's already got a lot of good connections with the organization, and it'll be good to see him come into camp next year. Like he's one of those guys where you're excited for training camp, obviously, every year because it's about to get the season going. But for me, it's really exciting to, you know, like this past year, see how Jet Wu looks when he's skating with NHL players, see how Danila Klimovich looks like when he was moving the puck with NHL players or playing in scrimmage. That's what I need to see with Arshdeep Bains is like, does he take NHL passes like he should? Does he move well enough to think that there's some potential there? Like, he's a player that's going to be really fun to watch next year at training camp. So, like, in a similar boat to me, almost as like a Danila Klimovich again next year, where there should be like we had flashes this training camp of like, wow, look at Danila Klimovich. There was the one scrimmage where it was like, is Klimovich ready for the NHL? Like, there was a lot of hype around that. You hope that you can see a similar thing from Bains at this next year's training camp to get the season going.
Yogi Svechkovsky.
Right.
Svechkovsky, something like that. Yeah. Point Roberts, lives in Point Roberts.
Long time.
With John Tortorella. He must have moved, right? Like he lived in Point Roberts, where, you know, he was a coach at the Delta Academy before. But he must have moved, right?
Yeah, probably.
Or did he pull the torts?
I don't know. I don't know, man.
You see Yogi at Rogers Arena all the time.
Yeah.
You see him all the time. Okay.
A lot of skills work, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else in the prospect report? Ready to close it out?
No, a little bit slower this week. Not a lot of international friendlies going on. Not a lot of SHL action for Canucks prospects. I'm going to try and look a little bit more into Linus Karlsson. Just kind of another dive into what he's done so far in the playoffs. Going to get some work done on the J20 performances by Jonathan Meyenberg and Lucas Forssell. And I'll get some work on that too. I'm going to also have a scouting with Faber return here probably sometime next week about Marco Kasper. So
weekly prospect roundup.
Yeah, too, we might do something like that pretty quick here. Just want to mention, like, I know Adam Gaudette scores the goal and he's whatever, but like, you know, I loved dealing with Adam Gaudette, which is like what happens. I love dealing with a player. Cole Lynn gets traded. Jonah Gajewicz, best guy ever, gets traded. Adam Gaudette gets traded, all these things like that. Or sorry, the other guy's lost in the
whatever, it doesn't
draft.
Matter.
You know what I'm saying. They're gone. But with Zach MacEwen, gone away. You know what I'm saying. These players, everyone I like, it's gone. But Adam Gaudette reached out last night to him just to say, you know, nice goal, buddy. Even though he didn't play the second half of the game, he played 4 minutes of ice time. And he said it was really good to hear from us and hope that we're doing well over here in Vancouver. So still very nice guy, Adam Gaudette. Though people obviously don't like him for certain reasons, and then him scoring the shootout goal didn't help either last night. But I had to. It's funny because I have all my like Canucks memes. I have like my Canucks memes album. I have so many Adam Gaudette pictures.
You had that locked and loaded, the one of him at the wedding. With
yeah. That was easy. And then, like, I was just sitting there. I'm like, am I going to get a freaking email here or a freaking phone call from somebody? And I was like, I can't get one here. This is a former player.
Yeah. Well, first of all, the Canucks aren't going to reach out to you. But second of all, I'm 100% sure Gaudette saw that and laughed.
Oh, yeah. The fact that he, like, messaged back and was, like, laughing quite a bit. Do miss that. I always think of that's my, I think I tweeted out, like, when he, that time I asked him a question. He's like, surprised it wasn't a Warzone question with you. And then the next week he scores the shootout winner and had to ask him the Warzone question. One of my favorite times and favorite players to deal
also,
with.
Also, I saw someone tweet out yesterday. They were like, there's two things Adam Gaudette's good at: spreading COVID and playing Warzone. And I was like, get out of here. And then he scores the scores the winner. So
good at shootouts too.
Yep. Just
always
saying.
Had that
skill. Also, last thing, he got that move from Ian Clark, and Gaudette said post-game that he was surprised that Demko wasn't cheating on it since he practiced it so many times on Demko.
Yeah, just Ian Clark.
Damn Ian Clark.
The guy is too good.
Too good for his own good. Okay, we'll close it out there. For my co-host, Chris Faber, my name is David Quadrelli. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of The Canucks Conversation.
Thanks for listening to Canucks Conversation, delivered by DoorDash. Hit the subscribe button to never miss an episode.
How about keep it to a thank you, Jim?
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
The playoffs are near and we have an army. Nation Gear is ready to gear you up for Vancouver's playoff run. Rep your favorite team as they battle for the cup. Shop the exclusive We Have an Army playoff tee and more at nationgear.ca.